Ephesians. As we look at the book of Ephesians, it's our riches in Christ. Our riches in Christ. So I go through the introduction. Let's start with verse 1, and then we'll get into the introduction. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which were at... Start over. I'm having a difficult time tonight for some reason reading. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, again, tonight we are thankful, very thankful for the opportunity to be here. We're thankful for the wonderful weather you've given us today and the fellowship that we've had. And Father, we're looking forward to what you have tonight for us through the book of Ephesus. And we thank you for, again, the Apostle Paul being the one that you had penned these things for us. I pray, Father, as we look at this, I pray that we'll learn some things again that we can apply to our lives. I pray, as always, that we'd be drawn closer to you and our faith would increase. We thank you for what you will accomplish as we go through this book. And I pray, Father, that you'd be lifted up and glorified, for it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. As I mentioned, our riches in Christ. Boy, do we have great riches in Christ Jesus. Thank God for all that he did. But Ephesians 3:1, also, if you'd look at that real quick, tells us that the Apostle Paul, being the author of this, it says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles," showing us that the author is the Apostle Paul. Then the recipients is the Ephesian church and other surrounding churches in Asia Minor. Now, at one point, I was talking to a guy and he says, well, the Bible, parts of it, were written to specific churches, so they don't apply to us. Gee, isn't that interesting? So, because the Bible wasn't specifically said, you know, I'll pick on Brother Emerson again because, you know, he's new. You get to do that for a while when they're new, right? The Bible at the beginning doesn't say, I write this book to Emerson White, right? But it still applies to Brother Emerson, just like it applies to all of us. It's kind of as crazy as people that say, the Old Testament's Old Testament. We don't have to worry about that because it has nothing to do with us. The Old Testament is relevant for us too. And so we need to understand that. So just because this specific book was written to the Ephesian church and other surrounding churches in Asia Minor doesn't mean that it doesn't pertain to us. We can get great things out of this if we just understand that. This church was founded by Paul on his second missionary journey. Paul's first visit here was very brief, but he left Priscilla and Aquila here to ground this new church in the faith. And we can see that in Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 18 and going through verse 21. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Crenchia, for he had a vow, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. Verse 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. I always like it when he says, if God will. Because we always say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and all this. And we should really say, if God wills, right? If it's the will of God, then we'll be able to do those things. We just assume that we're going to be able to do those things anyway. But, you know, we don't know that for sure, you know. We left yesterday. I'll see you tomorrow. If it's the will of God, right? We didn't know we'd be here today. one of us might have gone home to be with the Lord overnight, right? We don't know. We have no idea. We may have seen each other, but we may have been in heaven this morning because the rapture may have taken place and we'd be out of here, right? So we don't know. Apollos then arrived in Ephesus, knowing and preaching the baptism of John. These two saints, Priscilla and Aquila, then grounded Apollos in the Christian faith. Paul returned to Ephesus by his third missionary journey and stayed 3 years. And if you look at Acts chapter 19, we're not going to turn there for sake of time. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But if you look over there, you'll see he was there 3 years. His preaching caused a massive riot by the followers of the goddess Diana. And then Paul visited the Ephesian elders a final time at Miletus, warning them about the danger of false teachers. By the way, let's just say we still have false teachers out there today. Now, and it's easy to get caught up in that if you don't know the truth. Now, let me say again, if you want to know where the false teachers are, all you have to do is study the truth. You don't have to go out and study all the false religions out there. You just study the truth, and you can pick out the false ones. Real easy. It's amazing when you know the truth. Look at Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 16. It says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying of weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But nothing of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." Obviously they loved him, cared deeply for him. Paul cared deeply for these people. The Apostle John also wrote to this church, making this the only New Testament church to receive inspired letters from two apostles. By the time of John's, actually a letter from Christ, Ephesus had dealt with the false teachers, but were facing an even greater danger, losing their first love. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I always like when God throws in a nevertheless, right? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Ephesus was the political and commercial capital of the Roman province of Asia. In fact, the city was second only to Rome in the entire empire. Its temple of Diana, the Roman name, or Artemis, Greek name, was the largest pagan temple in the world and was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The grotesque, many-breasted Diana was a fertility goddess and another form of Semiramis, wife of Nimrod of Babel. The occasion of this writing. On his final visit with the Ephesian elders, Paul had warned of the danger of false teachers without and within. See, they're not just out there. Sometimes they creep into the church. So we have to be careful of those that are not just out there, but are also could come in and be amongst us. It's hard, not impossible, but it is hard to know. People know the language. They know what to say. They can fool us and become amongst us and then cause great havoc. Look at Acts chapter 20. Verses 29 and 30, where he said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." That's what they do. They come in and try and draw away. They try to get them to go a different way. By the time of John's letter from Christ to this church in Revelation 2, they had successfully warded off the false teachers. And we saw that in Revelation 2:2, which we have read already. It's amazing they were able to get that part done, but they left their first love. We have to be careful that we don't lose our first love. We can do a lot of things right, but if we lose that, it's a problem. It's a big problem. Ephesians seems to have been a key to this victory. In this epistle, Paul inoculated the Ephesian church by so familiarizing them with the true teachings of who they were in Christ and his church that they instantly recognized any false teachings which were brought against them. Paul also emphasized the importance of love, a key element of balance when battling false teachings. Remember, when we let people know what the Word of God says, when they tell us something that's not true, we need to remember to do that in love. Sometimes we have a tendency to get in their face and start pointing our finger and telling them how dumb they are, right? That's not going to win anybody. That's not going to convince anybody that you have the truth. We need to do it in love. I remember the last time I had the two elders, which were young enough to be my children, at my front door, they kept saying things to me, and I said, "But this is what the Word of God says." And everything they came up with, I said, "But the Word of God says this." And pretty soon, the older of the two, which was still young, said, "We got to go." And I found it awful amusing because when they first got there, they wanted to mow the lawn and wash the windows and clean the house. And I mean, they had all these things that they asked me if they could do for me. And as soon as I kept saying, this is what the Word of God says, this is what the Word of God says, this is what the Word of God says, they all of a sudden don't have any time. But see, if we know what the Word of God says, then we know when we're being told something that's not accurate. So we have to know. That's why God tells us to study. We need to do that. Because then we can tell. And as I said, we don't need to study the false teachings, we need to study the truth. I've talked to several people that work in as tellers at the banks. They say, you don't have to know all the counterfeit stuff, right? No, we just study the real. And from studying the real, we can tell the counterfeit. That's what you need to know. You don't have to go study all the different false religions. First of all, I don't really have time for all that anyway. I just need to know the truth. So I can discern the false stuff. Then the content. Ephesians was written to reveal our riches in Christ and in His church. Ephesians pictures the church as the body of Christ. Back to Ephesians. Oops. Chapter 1 and verse 2. Says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The temple. The temple. Ephesians 2:21. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Mystery, Ephesians 3, verse 4, says, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The new man, chapter 4 and verse 13, says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The bride, chapter 5 and verse 25, where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a good verse for husbands to understand. I've had many, and let's say too many, conversations with men that say the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, and the husband's supposed to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're not supposed to lord over our wives. They're a help meet, not a slave. Just thought I'd get that off my chest tonight. We need to understand God has placed them there in our lives as a purpose to walk with us, not to be trampled by us. And then a soldier in chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. As a soldier. Then Ephesians is addressed to a group of believers who are rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, yet living as beggars and only because they are ignorant of their wealth. Folks, we are rich in Christ Jesus. I think of this, we are joint heirs with Christ. Do you get what that means? God owns it all. And we are joint heirs with Christ. And yet we walk around most of the time like somebody stole our birthday. We have a frown on our face trying to tell people how great it is to be a Christian. We have great riches. I mean, who could ask for more? Oh, I mean, the Bible tells us we have a mansion in heaven, right? It's already there. We have a mansion in heaven. And yet we act like things are horrible. Things couldn't get any worse, right? we have such great riches in Christ Jesus. And it's because we don't understand what we have. The first three chapters are theological and explain our position in Christ. The next three chapters are practical and deal with what our practice should be in Christ. The key word of this book is church. Had people tell me that, you know, you can be saved and not be a member of a church. That is a true statement. But another true statement is, you can't be right with God and be saved and not be a member of a church. God's put it pretty plain. Then there's some key verses, and I'm not going to read them all, but I'll just go through the ones. Ephesians 1:3, Ephesians 2:6 through 10, Ephesians 3:21 through 4:1, Ephesians 5:23 through 32, and Ephesians 6:11 through 18. These are some key verses in this book. And then the key chapter is Ephesians chapter 2. The theme, again, is our position in Christ and in His church. The date of the writing is A.D. 60. For classification, Ephesus is the first of Paul's four prison epistles, written from Rome during Paul's first imprisonment there. Paul sent four men from Rome with four letters for recipients in their home cities. Look at Ephesians 6:21. He sent Tychicus, had the epistle to the Ephesians, Ephesians 6:21, but that you may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Epaphroditus in Philippians 2:25. Where he says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. And then Philippians 4:18 also it talks about, where he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing of God. And Epaphras had the epistle to the Colossians in Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And then Onesimus had the epistle to Philemon in Colossians. Philemon, verse 10. Says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. The importance, Ephesians has been called the profoundest book in existence, the divinest composition of man, Paul's third heaven epistle, the epistle of the Ascension, the Alps of the New Testament, the Mount Whitney, of the high Sierras of all Scripture. Because of its explanation of our riches in Christ, it has also been entitled The Believer's Bank, The Christian's Checkbook, and The Treasure House of the Bible. Then in comparison, Ephesians may be compared with Colossians. Ephesians shows us the church as the body of Christ, and Colossians shows us Christ as the head of the church. Ephesians has also been called the Joshua of the New Testament. In both books, God's people move in to possess their promised and purchased blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The outline of the book of Ephesians. Saved by grace for the glory of God, the first three chapters. Our blessings in Christ in chapter 1, our life in Christ in chapter 2, and our union in Christ in chapter 3. And then we're saved by grace for the service of God in Ephesians, chapters 4 through 6. The growth of the body in Ephesians 4, the power of the family in Ephesians 5, and the arsenal of the army in Ephesians 6. God's laid it out pretty well. We have everything we need. We have great riches in Jesus Christ and in His church. I can't imagine. We'll end with this tonight because of time and all, but I remembered when God moved us from the last church we were at and we had no church home. It was a scary time. I know what the Bible says. We're to be a member of a New Testament church. It was difficult. I know Brother White has just gone through that just recently where they were in between churches. It's difficult to not have a church home. But it's difficult to just run and join a church without having it God's will. And so you have to wait on Him. And sometimes His timing isn't our timing. And so we have to be careful that we do it God's way and not our way. So let's pray and then we'll get into our business meeting. Father in heaven, we thank You for this night. We thank You for the book of Ephesians, looking forward to going through it. I pray, Father, that You would be glorified as we do this, as in all things that's said and done here. And I pray, Father, You'll bless this time that we have as we